the circle wide. Draw it wider still. Let this be our song. No one stands alone, standing side by side. Draw the circle wide. God is the point of the circle, round whom all creation turns. Nothing lost but held forever in God's gracious arms. Draw the circle wide, draw it wider still. Let this be our song. No one stands alone, standing side by side. Draw the circle wide. Let our hearts touch far horizons, so encompass great and small. Let our loving know no borders, faithful to God's call. Draw the circle wide, draw it wide. Let this be our song. No one stands alone, standing side by side. Draw the circle wide. Let the dreams we dream be larger than we've ever dreamt before. Let the dream of Christ be in us, open every door. Draw the circle wide, draw it wider still. Let this be our song. No one stands alone, standing side by side. Draw the circle wide. Hello
and welcome to St. Stephen's United Church online. We're very glad that you can be with us today. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Well, we're still in the book of Luke this week, and it's another complex story. And we're trusting in Diane to show us the way into the story and the message that God has for us in it today. So stay with us, get comfortable, and let's worship. We are on a journey of faith. Jesus is our leader and our guide. We place our trust in him. As the daylight hours grow longer, our journey takes on an urgency. We must prepare our hearts for Jerusalem. Do not fear. God goes before us into Jerusalem, into the world. Amen. If you have a habit of lighting a candle for worship, why don't we do that together now and take a few moments to be still before we enter into the rest of our service. Let's pray this responsive prayer together. Jesus, our Lord, Saviour divine, you journey without faltering to fulfill the purposes of God. Teach us to follow in your ways. Give us strength. Give us courage to stay on the path you have made for us as your disciples. Lead us in your ways that are not our ways, and help us to remember that we will never journey alone. As we come to know you more deeply, may we develop soft hearts and hard feet for the road ahead. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Please join me in saying together our prayer of confession for today. Most patient God, we know that we do not gladly hear or heed your word when it confronts us, but find ways to ignore it or to interpret it to our own ends. Forgive us, we pray. Speak your divine will into our hearts and souls in such a way that we shall not be able to elude or escape it, and help us by your Spirit to respond in ways that will enhance our lives and your coming reign. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. In our reading for this week, we will hear of Jesus' longing for us to return to God, of how God wants to gather us to him like a hen gathering her chicks under her wings. That longing tells us that our prayers are heard and God's forgiveness is assured. When we confess, we're turning from our sins, whether that's a sin of commission, something we do, or a sin of omission, something we've left undone. Either or, we're turning back to God. And friends, all of Scripture testifies to the truth that God is just waiting for us to return with open arms and an open heart. As the psalmist and so many others tell us, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, full of grace, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Friends, your sins, my sins, have been forgiven. And this is good news. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen.
Today's gospel reading is from Luke chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. At that time, some Pharisees said to him, "Get away from here if you want to live. Herod Antipas wants to kill you." Jesus replied, "Go tell that fox that I will keep on casting out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will accomplish my purpose. Yes, today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must proceed on my way, for it wouldn't do for a prophet of God to be killed, except in Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. How often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. And now, look, your house is abandoned, and you will never see me again until you say, 'Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Last Sunday, I lamented how tired we all are right now. And it's no wonder. We're living in times that seem to be unusually intense emotionally. So much of this life today seems to have such high stakes, doesn't it? Most notably right now, the war that was started when the Russian military invaded Ukraine. It is horrible. And the stories coming out of Ukraine break our hearts and boggle our minds. But in the midst of that horror, there has also been a thread of something else. I'm not quite sure what the word is to describe it in fullness. It's like there's an element of hope, maybe even. And even more, there's a strong dose of inspiration. It's what we feel when we hear the stories of the incredibly courageous ways the Ukrainian people have stood to fight this invasion, determined not just to lay down and surrender their country to the might of the Russian armed forces. Ordinary people have been armed and they are fighting to defend their country. An unlikely president has led his people, inspiring them to do things they likely never imagined having to do. No one expected the Ukrainians to be able to put up the resistance that they have, let alone for that resistance to have hampered their enemy's progress to the extent that it has. There is a strength to their response that is inspiring. And as many have noted, it kind of reminds us of David and Goliath. Well, that great old story has inspired many a little guy to stand up and fight the bullies they face. And of course, if it comes, that little guy's victory is wonderful. But so is the little guy's courage. You know, when men twice his age and strength and skill level were cowering, young David boldly decided that if no one else was going to take on that giant, then he would have to. Because surrendering to Goliath just wasn't even an option on the table. That's a bit of the sense we have from the people and the president of Ukraine, isn't it? It's also the sense we get from Jesus in our reading for today. This passage comes to us from the portion of Luke's gospel that we call the travel narrative. It's a part that contains the stories of what happened to Jesus as he quite intentionally made his way to Jerusalem for what would be the final time. Throughout this journey, Jesus finds himself in conflict with various religious leaders. He continues to challenge their understandings of God and of God's ways. Just prior to our passage today, Jesus had warned some people who might expect that they were going to be the first in line into God's kingdom, that they were actually going to be sorely disappointed. They might even find themselves thrown out, he says. That not so veiled warning seems to have been aimed squarely at the religious authorities who were so sure they were righteous as they were opposing Jesus and his mission. Well, coming on the heels of that confrontation, we can see why our story begins today with some Pharisees warning Jesus that he better take off because his life was in danger. They told him that Herod was about to kill him. Now, we're not quite sure whether that was actually true and they were sincerely concerned for his welfare, or if they were just using that as a threat to try to get rid of Jesus because he was creating trouble. In some ways, their motivations don't really matter for our purposes. It was entirely possible that Herod did pose a threat. Remember, he'd had John the Baptist imprisoned and killed, perhaps in part because he was worried that the following that John was amassing might threaten the peace and then create problems for them with the Roman authorities. Since Herod had killed John, it wasn't at all a stretch to think that he might feel threatened enough to do the same to Jesus. Well, whatever the Pharisees' intentions, their warning could well have been worth heeding. But Jesus didn't. He showed complete disregard for Herod. He said, "Go tell that fox that I'll keep driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal." Like David, Jesus had no intention of retreating, no matter how powerful his foe. He was determined to keep doing what he had come to do, and he told them this clearly. Well, last week we heard the story of Jesus' temptation and how the devil tempted him with the lure of some shortcuts that he promised would expedite Jesus' goals, shortcuts that in reality actually had the potential to derail his mission to rescue and save God's people and God's world. Well, this week we see Jesus facing a different threat. This time, by saying that Herod was out to kill him, those who opposed him were trying to use fear to get him to go away and give up. It was impatience last week. It's fear this week. Boy, those are temptations I recognize. But again, Jesus was wise to the lure and didn't take the bait. Instead, he proclaimed his steadfast intention to carry on towards his goal, convinced that if he remained faithful, he would get to see God's plans unfold. Well, at first, when you look at this whole reading, it looks like it has two distinct parts. But I'm not sure that they're actually as distinct as they at first appear. In the first part, we hear a strong, determined Jesus flat out refuse to run from Herod. And then in the second, his tone seems to change dramatically. He goes from that intense determination to heartfelt lament. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Remember, Jesus was headed to Jerusalem. And remember what awaited him there, a cross. And still, he laments people's refusal to hear God's heart and return to him. Jesus was clearly lamenting for the people of Jerusalem literally, but in this lament we also hear his heart breaking for all of God's people who have either turned away or worse, who are actively opposing Jesus and his mission. People like those very religious leaders that he seemed to continually find himself fighting against. Jesus' heart just aches for the very same people who would all too soon cry out, "Crucify him!" Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Some tell us that repeating names like this is actually a Hebraic way of speaking. You repeat the name as a way of expressing intimacy and closeness. Jesus' lament is coming from love. Jesus' love for them. Jesus' love for us. It's not anger or frustration, but love that makes him long for people to turn back to God. Remember in Hebrews, we hear that for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. The possibility of being reunited with wee wandering children, that's the joy that was before Jesus as he went to his death. The possibility that we might finally be able to come home, that's what kept him determined to see it all through. If you're hearing echoes of the prodigal son's father standing every day waiting on the front porch for his lost son to come back, if you hear that in this, then you're probably beginning to get a sense of Jesus' heart as he speaks these words of lament. God's deepest desire is to be fully reunited with his children, and for all of God's creation to be restored to uninhibited, abundant life. And Jesus' heart is a direct reflection of that longing from God. So neither impatience, nor fear, nor a host of other temptations and trials will keep him from walking that road to the cross for us. Well, friends, it feels like we are beset by fear on many sides right now, doesn't it? So, as with last week's reading, this one feels a bit timely, I think, because the fear that we hear and we sense all around us has the potential to derail us and our lives, and to derail our call to continue to join Jesus in his mission every day. In one of his brief letters, the Apostle John wrote that there is no fear in love, but perfect love actually casts out fear. Friends, hear Jesus' lament for us today. Hear Jesus' longing to gather us as a mother hen gathers her chicks and tucks them warmly and safely under her wings. Hear Jesus' love for us that will not be stopped. Not by the devil, not by a powerful, threatened feeling Roman ruler, not even by death itself. It was Jesus' love for us that banished any fear that ever threatened him. And wonderfully, it is his love for us that can banish any fear that ever looms for us as well. Amen.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. And you have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. And you have been so, so kind to me. Mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light out, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. Coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming
Good morning. Please join me in these prayers, and please think about adding your own personal thanksgivings and petitions as I pause after each section. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for this week's sunshine, the emerging daffodils and crocuses and tulips, the birds building nests, all reminders of the coming spring and your creative genius, a reminder of your glory. Help us to see the beauty you've created for us, and help us to do our part to care for your creation. Jesus, we give thanks for this community, for being able to meet again in worship, face to face, and for the outreach to those around us, outreach to a neighbor, a friend, someone we do not know. We ask you to bless our minister, Diane, and all the staff and the volunteers who support ministry here at St. Stephen's. Bless them richly. Lord Jesus, we pray for the people and the leadership of the Ukraine. This is heavy on our hearts, suffering that is beyond our comprehension. Families separated, and now over 1 million refugees, many hundreds killed, homes destroyed, utilities disabled. We pray for those in Poland and beyond who are striving to find safe shelter for the refugees. We pray for the Russian people who speak out against this war and the soldiers who do not want to fight. Please speak into the heart of the Russian president, his cabinet, and generals to end this war and to withdraw. Wars do not solve problems. Bring leaders from the nations forward and give them bold ideas which will build peace. We pray for those who are ill or grieve in our own family and community. Lessen the despair of diminishing health and lost relationships. Replace it with hope. Please name those on your heart. Jesus, you are the great teacher. You taught love and showed us grace in action. As we move through this Lenten period of reflection, show us a right path. Teach us your ways. Please join me in saying the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We thank you again for your faithful giving to the works and ministry of this church. Would you pray with me now the prayer dedicating these gifts to God's purposes? Heavenly Father, your love for us has been demonstrated by the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. With these gifts, we would show our love for you. Bless the gifts and those who gave, we pray, that they may be used to carry on your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, let us go forth from this time of worship together empowered and empowering, catching a glimpse of what is possible when we are released from fear. And may the love that proceeds from the wounded heart of God sustain us in our being, the presence that Christ imparts grace us in our living, and the response that the Holy Spirit awakens in each of us make us faithful in our acting. Amen.
My yes to you today.